It's a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from past holidays on the air. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up later in this hour, the Bob Hope Show from Christmas Eve 1952. But right now, music from the Carnation Contented Hour featuring singer Buddy Clark, an NBC episode from December 20th, 1948.
An invitation from Carnation, the world's largest selling brand of evaporated milk, to hear the Contented Hour with our singing star, Buddy Clark. Because this is Christmas week, we've planned some Yuletide music and have invited as our guest tonight the Ken Darby Singer. The Carnation Orchestra is under the direction of our brilliant arranger-conductor, Ted Dale, and I'm Jimmy Wallington. And here's Buddy Clark.
You better watch out. Better not cry. Better not pout. And I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. Checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're away. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. So you better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. No, you better watch out, better not cry, better not pout, and I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Thanks, everybody, and season's greetings to all. This is the time of year when good people everywhere bedeck their homes with holly wreaths, Christmas bells, other symbols of the joyous season. And our thoughts go back almost 2,000 years to a humble old world village as we sing the beautiful O Little Town of Bethlehem and Silent Night.
Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Virgin, mother and child.
Along with music such as Silent Night, the Christmas season also includes the descriptive little song which Ted Dale has arranged for the Carnation Orchestra. Sparkling Snow Scene, Winter Wonderland.
Dreamy look, buddy.
Well, that's a hungry look. I'm thinking about Christmas dinner.
Well, I guess a lot of people are thinking about Christmas dinner. You know, I'll bet all we've said about Carnation evaporated milk will help a lot of women make better Christmas dinners.
For the past 2 years on the Carnation Christmas program, we have presented a wonderful ballad which was written many years ago by an American poet named Clement Moore. The title he gave it was A Visit from St. Nicholas. Tonight, we have the excellent voices of the Ken Darby Singers to do justice to this timely song, which everyone knows by its opening line, "'Twas the night before Christmas."
"'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the home. Not a creature was stirring, not even a moth. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their wee little beds.
All bundled in fur from his head to his foot.
cheeks were like roses,
kissed by the sun, his nose like a cherry,
all wrinkled with foam.
Little mouth was drawn up like a bow.
The beard on his chin was as white as the snow.
The stump of a little old pipe he held tight in his teeth. Choppy and plump, a right jolly old elf. Then I laughed, then I laughed, then I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He gave me a wink of his eye and a twist of his head. A chuckle and a smile I knew all the while I had nothing to dread.
Spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings and turned with a jerk and laying a finger
aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh. And away they all flew like the sound of a pistol. But I heard him exclaim, and he drove out on fire.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all good
in their wee little beds, while memories of sugar plum dance in their wee little heads.
Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap are settled at last for a long.
I think you should know that the music for that number was written by Ken Darby. There'll be more from the Ken Darby singers a little later. At the moment, I have a 1948 song for you, one of the most popular in the country. The love song, and the love song fits in very well with this sentimental season, My Darling, My Darling.
Wanted to call you my darling for many and many a day. My darling, my darling, I fluttered and fled like a starling. My courage just melted away. Now all at once you've kissed me, and there's not a thing I'm sane enough to say. except my darling, get used to the name of my darling. It's here to stay. Till a moment ago, we were Mr. and Miss, discussing the weather, avoiding each other's eye. Till a moment ago, when we happened to kiss, and we kissed the Mr. and Miss goodbye. Now at last, I can sigh, my darling, I fluttered and fled like a starling. My courage just melted away. Now all at once you kissed me, and there's not a thing I'm sane enough to say, except my darling, get used to the name of my darling. It's here to stay.
Before continuing with more music, I'd like to take a few seconds to remind you of C-A-R-E Care, the organization which makes it possible for all of us to send packages of food and clothing to people in many countries abroad. During this Christmas season, I'm sure you will want to make some family happy by sending a package through Care. Ted Dale has prepared an exciting musical interpretation of one of the most familiar songs of childhood. Let's listen to the Carnation Orchestra that romps through variations of London Bridge is Falling Down.
We grown-ups often say that Christmas is really for children. And sometimes, as we get older, we may even feel that Christmas is a little exaggerated. But it's still a matter of deep sentiment to the Carnation people that next Saturday will be the 50th Christmas for Carnation Evaporated Milk. It's not just because that's such a long time, But because during those years, so many people have benefited in so many ways through Carnation milk.
In recent years, a certain song written by Irving Berlin has become as much a tradition of Christmas as trimming the tree, carving the turkey, or exchanging gifts. Ted Dale has made a beautiful arrangement of this truly American Christmas song for the Ken Darby Singers, the Carnation Orchestra, and yours faithfully, B. Clark. It's White Christmas.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Ted Dale.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And Buddy Clark.
Merry Christmas.
And the Ken Darby Singers of the Coronation Orchestra.
Contented, I'm singing, for I'm contented. I want no more, or what more could I aspire to? I'm on heaven's own doorstep, so contented with you.
And so our Christmas Contented Hour comes to a close. We'll be back again just 1 week from now with more good music for you.
Oh, yes, indeed. And with Buddy Clark and Ted Dale of the Coronation Orchestra, as well as a special guest.
Jimmy, next week we've invited that grand little singer, Lucille Norman. So everybody plan to be with us, will you?
Before we say goodnight, all of us, Buddy Clark, Ted Dale, the Coronation Orchestra, the 10,000 members of the Coronation family throughout the world, and yours sincerely, Jimmy Wallington, want to wish you a wonderful Christmas, a new year of happiness, and a contented future. We'll be with you again next Monday. Good night.
This program has come to you from our Hollywood studios and was heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Coronation Contented Hour, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 20th of December, 1948 on NBC, featuring the singer Buddy Clark, who is known as the Contented Crooner, mostly because of that sponsorship. That episode broadcast a year before his death at the age of 37, but he really made his mark as being one of the singers that made the girls swoon in the 1930s and 40s. This is an hour of Christmas programs on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Now time for the Bob Hope Show with special guest Frank Sinatra. This Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast from December 24th, 1952.
Yours truly, Bill Goodwin. Our special guest, Frank Sinatra. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you very much, Bill Goodwin. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I decided to do my Christmas shopping earlier this year. Traffic downtown is murder. I know one guy who has a Hudson, and when he drives in town these days, he doesn't step down into it. He just shoves it in the gear and puts his head in the glove compartment. And what crowds. Everybody's shopping. Jack Benny was shopping, too. Jack had an awful dizzy spell. Dropped a dime in a revolving door, and it took him 5 minutes to find it. I asked Jack Benny what he was buying. He said, not very much, because he already has 100 gifts at home to distribute among his friends. His Christmas seals have arrived. I did my family shopping first, so I asked the clerk what I should get for my boys. She said, I'm sorry, I don't believe I know what boys want. You should have seen her. She didn't. Wouldn't have helped anyway. She didn't have it. But I did get a great buy. But I did get a great buy on perfume this year. I always get perfume. Last year it was Toujours Moi. The year before it was Toujours Toi. This year, I got a lovely scent. It's called Toujours Smog. Don't laugh at these jokes. They may catch on. Ever get the feeling that you're in the wrong business? Now, they have some wonderful presents this year. The newest washing machine not only washes and rinses and dries the clothes, it waddles next door and borrows the soap powder. But this year, my family's getting gifts from my den that'll help me relax more. Contour chair, a dressing room gown, large can of Ovaltine. They're even changing the calendar on the wall to a hunting scene. But everybody was shopping. I saw Jack Dempsey looking around. He thought his shopping was done, but it turned out he didn't get anything. Thought he was going to have another long count.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight is Frank Sinatra. But folks, the story we're going to tell you really began this morning when Frank made a purchase in a Hollywood jewelry store.
These pearl cufflinks will be fine. I think I'll take 12 pairs of them, huh?
Well, thank you, Mrs. Sinatra. But do you think you'll need 12 pairs?
Yes, they're going to be Christmas presents for the crew on my picture. Very important boys, these fellas are, those grips and that guy behind the camera.
Really?
Yeah, you know it. Last Christmas, I slipped up and didn't send him anything, but never again.
Why? What did they do?
I don't know, but for the rest of the picture, I looked like I was walking around a Sydney Green Street skin.
And, Mr. Sinatra, where shall I send these?
Well, let me see. I just got back from the East, and I haven't got settled yet. Tell you what, I'm going over to do the Bob Hope radio show. Why don't you send them over to Bob's house?
Right.
See you later, Maurice.
Goodbye, Mr. Sinatra. Oh, by the way, how did you like the signet ring you bought the last time you were here?
The signet ring. Oh, that worked out great.
It did?
Yeah, holds up my pants fine. So long.
Say, Bob.
Yeah, Bill?
This package just arrived for you.
Oh, fine.
And you know something? It's insured for $800.
You're kidding.
No. No, that's what it says. Gee, Bob, who'd send you a Christmas present that cost $800? You better unwrap it and find out who it's from.
Well, I can't. It says do not open till Christmas.
Well, yeah, but this could be somebody who needs medical attention right now.
Say, I've got an idea.
Yeah, Bob.
It says on the package it's from Maurice Jewelers. Call him and find out who sent this.
Okay. Now, why would Frank Sinatra send such an expensive gift? Oh, hey, Bob. That present was sent to you by...
Oh, don't tell me, Bill. Let me guess. Is it from somebody that has a slim, graceful figure and soft, wavy hair?
Yeah.
A person that everybody looks at walking down the street?
Yeah.
Someone whose voice is low and musical and gives everyone a thrill?
Oh, yeah.
And is it someone I'd like to take a trip through the tunnel of love with?
Well, you could, but it'd cause a lot of talk. Wow. That package is from Frank Sinatra.
Sinatra?
Can't be. That's what the man told me.
Well, Frank wouldn't send me a wonderful present like this.
Why not?
After all the things I've said about him, that he carries bricks in his pockets to keep from being blown away. And when he makes a picture, they use a string of spaghetti as a stand-in. That he's the only guy in town that can pull his shorts on from either end.
The gift is from Frank.
Gee, he's giving me an $800 present? What do I have him down on my list for?
Well, let's see. You were going to give him a $2 tie clip, and then you decided a 50-cent pen would be enough.
Well, if Frank has given me an $800 present, I'm certainly not going to kiss him off with any 50-cent pen. That wouldn't be right.
Oh, of course not, Bob.
Put him back in the list for the $2 tie clip.
Okay, Winthrop.
Down, Liberace's mother. Look at those teeth. I'm only kidding. I'll get Frank a nice gift. I'll get it.
Hi, Bob.
Frank, we were just talking about you. Come on in. Sit down, Frank.
Thanks. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Frank.
Gee, Frank, it's a real thrill to have you drop in.
A thrill?
Yeah. Gee, you're looking great. You're looking thrill. You know, Frank, you're just tops. Yes, sir, that's the way I feel about you.
Well, I didn't know. Should we pick out the ring?
Whether you be the confetti?
Ooh.
Say, Frank, I'm sincere about this. I'm proud to have you on the show, boy. You're the greatest performer, greatest personality, greatest singer, greatest talent.
Bob.
Yeah?
It's no use. You still got to pay me.
Don't get too
you when he laughs, I can always finish this program with Eddie Fisher, you know.
You deserve it. I don't get this, Bob. What's all this big friendship kick all of a sudden?
I'm happy, that's all.
Why?
Well, the way I'm being treated. Till this year, I didn't believe in Santa Claus.
You sound like a Republican.
Now, you'll understand in a minute. Pardon me while I go in the other room and get a certain package.
All right.
Say, when'd you get back from the East, Frank?
Just arrived, Bill. I wanted to be here for the holidays.
Oh, naturally.
How about you, Will? Is the jolly old gent with the big tummy going to be good to you this year?
Ah, sure, Frank. Bob always gives me something.
By the way,
yeah.
What goes on with Robert? He's treating me so great, you think I just shot Red Skelton or one of those other guys.
No, Bob likes you, Frank. As a matter of fact, he's going to spend a chunk of dough on your Christmas present. $400 or $500. Old Happy Hips likes you.
Gee, that's touching. You know, my eyes are getting misty.
Yeah?
And to think I've been giving him such a brush.
Shh, here he comes, Frank.
My boy, you're looking great. You know something? I'd never believe that you're as old as you are.
You don't know how old I am.
It doesn't matter. I'd never believe it. Now, look, I'm leveling with you. Till tonight, I never realized how young and how handsome you are.
Well, Frank, if Bob's so young and handsome, how come there are all those lines in his face?
Those are not lines, Bill.
That's right. It's just that I have so much good looks, I have to pleat my face to get it all in. Frank, you don't have to flatter me. I know how much you like me. Not many people send me $800 Christmas presents.
What? Do you really think you'll see the day when I'll give you an $800 Christmas present?
Oh, I think so.
You better start taking vitamins, kid. You got a long time to live.
Well, why deny it, Frank? Here's the package right here.
Let me see that. Oh, Bob, this isn't for you. This contains the presents for the crew on my picture. I just had Maurice send them over here.
Oh.
Just a minute, Dad. You weren't being so nice to me just because you thought I was going to give you an expensive present, were you?
Heck, no, I was sure of it.
But you still mean what you said, don't you? I mean about my being such a nice-looking guy and all that jazz and...
Of course, Frank. You're fine. You look great. You're in great shape. That is, for a human hat rack.
Well, Bob, I meant what I said, too. You do look young. As young as any of those guys. Jack Benny, George Jessel.
You don't tell me, Frank.
What's that, Bob?
It's great to be back to normal again.
Sure is.
South of the border.
South of the border, down Mexico way, that's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. Now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray. Picture in that old Spanish lace, just for a tender while, I kissed the smile upon her face, 'cause it was fiesta, and we were so gay, south of the border, Mexico way. And she sighed as she whispered mañana, never dreaming that we were parting. And I lied as I whispered mañana, 'cause our tomorrow it never came. South of the border, I jumped back one day, there in a veil white by the candlelight, she knelt to pray. Bells told me she must not stay south of the border, Mexico way. intuition bells told me, ding dong, I must not stay, stay south of that border, down Mexico way.
Frank. Say, Frank.
Yes, Robert.
Do you recall a little experience we shared years ago during the holiday season?
If you are referring to the outstanding fiasco of my career, I certainly do remember it, old man.
Pretty grim, wasn't it?
It should have happened to Como.
Would you mind if we tell the folks about it now that the audience is dying of curiosity?
Oh, is that what they're dying of?
One of these days, yeah. Pow!
Down, Maggio. He should talk. He looks like eternity got here before he did. Well, anyway,
here we go, folks. A Yuletide incident in the lives of Sinatra and Hope.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we take you back 17 years. It is 1936, the last year of the Big Depression, and everyone is struggling to get along. A certain young man is trying to get a job in a Cleveland department store.
Well, young fellow, what can I do for you?
Oh, your ad in the paper says you want extra clerks for the Christmas rush. I thought you'd give me a job because I'm a Cleveland boy, and you know my family. You knew my father before me and his father before him.
All right, Hope, I'll hire you on one condition.
What's that?
Like you say, I know your family. Stay away from the cash register.
Yes, sir.
You can start tomorrow morning in the haberdashery department.
Thank you, sir, and Dad'll be happy when he hears about it, too. I'll tell him next visiting day.
For my husband. Are you the clerk in charge of this counter?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, tell me, do you have nice, warm woolen socks that go almost up to the knees?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, I really don't need them. I have very hairy legs.
The very idea. I've a good mind to tell the manager about this.
He already knows that we dress in the same locker room. On the bowling team. Say, you want to watch out for me. I'm going to be a vaudeville comedian, and I got a lot of fast lines.
Well, never mind the socks. I think I'll buy myself a pair of slippers.
Right over here, ma'am. We have a complete line. Carpet slippers, bedroom slippers, moccasins, galoshes, and hip boots. The hip boots are wonderful to slip on when you're going to feed the pigs.
Do I look as though I have a herd of pigs to feed?
I don't know. How big is your family?
Why, you impertinent young whippersnapper. Floorwalker!
Yes, what's the trouble, lady?
This clerk insulted me. He said my family are pigs.
Well, if it ain't Nellie the shoplifter. Beat it, honey. Go on down to the silverware section and put the snatch in some of the sterling.
All right, I'll go. But you tell Beagle Beak here to be more polite to us shoplifters. We got a union, you know.
Thanks for getting me out of that jam. Are you a new floor walker?
The dew is still wet on my carnation. I haven't even got my striped pants yet.
What are those you're wearing?
I drew some ink lines in my long underwear. But it's a little embarrassing, you know, when I go up to the front of the store.
Yeah, and it must be your bargain basement. Well, I better get back to work.
Not so fast. I got a bone to pick with you.
Who is it, you? What's the... What's wrong?
Now, look, while you're working on my section, Sonny, no more calling the customers pigs, you understand?
I was just making a joke. You see, I'm trying to get in the show business.
No, well, shake, Buster.
You mean you want to get in show business, too?
Yeah, I want to sing. I eat singing, sleep singing, think singing. I want to be a singer in the worst way.
Maybe Bing will give you lessons.
I got to do one of the numbers on the store loudspeaker. I wait.
Yeah, all right.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Customers, this is Singing Frankie again. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Go up to the second floor, there's a girdle sale today.
Hey, let me help you sell those girdles, will you?
Back it right in here. Oh, pick your size, pay no cash, put it on your tab. Have a happy holiday while we hold in your flag.
Hey, you know something, Carl? You know, we're not too bad.
Yeah, if you were prettier, we could do the Paper Mate Pen song. Hey, Frank, tonight's Christmas Eve. What do you say? After work, we live it up a little.
Live it up?
Yeah, I got us a date with a couple of creeps. How about you? You want to waltz the light with a couple of fantastics?
You mean you got us a date with two dames?
Well, reasonably accurate facsimiles. They work in the furniture department, and their upholstery's kind of loose. Well, come on. I told the girls to wait for us in the restaurant in the corner. Let's go.
I'm going.
Cabina. Oh, those boys ought to be here by now. What department of the store did you say they work in?
The haberdashery department. Why?
Oh, I'm just getting nervous, that's all. Once I had a blind date with a fellow from the floor covering section. And when he saw what I looked like, he wrapped me in a tube of linoleum.
Well, these fellas won't be like that.
What sort of guys are they?
Well, they'll think we're pretty.
Oh, stoops. Here comes one fellow in the door now.
There's two fellas.
Oh, yeah. For a minute, it looked like one fellow with a toothpick.
Well, here we are.
Oh, hello,
hello, boys.
Hello, girls. You mean, these are them?
This is it.
You said we had a date with a couple of chicks.
So?
Chicks, not buzzards.
Take it easy, Frank. They may not look like much, but they grow on you.
They do, huh?
Yeah, I've only known them 5 minutes, and already I'm sick.
Sit down, boys.
Okay.
Oh, you sit right here beside me, honey. You're cute.
Thanks, Grandma.
Now, I'm not so old. I'm just pressing 30.
You're pressing 30? In what, your memory book?
It's Christmas Eve. Why don't we make a party out of this? Let's live it up a little.
Oh, wonderful.
Although in your case, it may be a little late.
Say, you guys are pretty shady for store clerks.
Oh, we're not just store clerks.
Heavens, no.
We're in show business. We're going to be big stars. We're going to live on Fifth Avenue in the best penthouse.
You bet.
The Waldorf Astoria in a beautiful suite, and in Beverly Hills in a ritzy mansion.
Where are you staying now?
In an alley under a loose manhole cover.
Let's have some food. Say, waiter, we'll have filet mignons, mushroom, and pheasant under glass.
Oh, no.
And
no.
Lobster thermidor, caviar, and champagne.
Oh, bye. Ouch. Oops.
What are you groaning about? You said you were big wheels.
Yeah, but we're a little short of axle grease. Well, we've all had a fine dinner. I wonder how much the bill is.
$46.60. And you better have the dough to pay for it.
Listen, Herm. You're talking to a couple of guys that are going to be famous someday. Just leave the tab, my good man, and we'll pay you the next time we're passing through on our way to Hollywood.
Yeah, we'll be shuttling back and forth all the time between Lana and Tallulah.
You'll work it out right now, waiting on tables.
Us? Waiters? Why, my friend here is going to be a great singer.
Then you can be singing waiters. Yeah. Now, do you start working, or do I call a cop and clap you both in jail?
Well, what do you say, pal?
Jingle bells, try our steaks today. Just $1.98, that's not too much to pay. T-bone round porterhouse, we've got them by the dozen. They are really famous, for they once were Trigger's cousins. Good evening, friends.
thanks for the memory.
I want to thank Frank Sinatra for coming on doing a fine show tonight. Thank you.
The Bob Hope Program on Tuned to Yesterday from Christmas Eve 1952, an NBC broadcast later retransmitted by Armed Forces Radio. That was the recording we just heard, which wraps up this hour of Christmas programs on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonier. Happy holidays.